Mama, no. Dear Mama, no. Dearest Mama, because you are dearest to me as ever, even if you are not sending me the same warm thoughts. I received your letter of November last. It's already late January here in the Washington Territory, so your urgent and alarming missive took over 2 months. Traveling overland from Kansas and spending many days, I fear, at the postal desk in Peshaston, as the postmaster had lost a tooth the week before and died of sepsis. Part of me wishes it had never arrived at all, but that is... no. Mama, it is impossible for me to fathom this distance that has grown between us. A chasm both of physical space and the heart. I fear you. I believe you. No.
Evangeline?
Yes?
Well, what are you doing up here? Belle's asking for you. A bunch of the Pit Boys are coming down off the chumstick.
I'll be down directly.
Well, all right. What do you got in that drawer there?
Nothing to do with you,
Is it
Lily.
A little of Doc Keller's fixings?
No.
Because if it is, you know Belle
says... If you insist on knowing, it is a letter that I'm writing. Writing a letter.
A letter?
Yes.
You can write yourself a letter?
I can.
Well, who's it to?
Never you mind.
Who, Evie? Who could you write to?
My mother. Now, could you tell Belle I'll be down in 2 shakes?
Oh, sure, Evie, but...
Yes?
Well, maybe one day. And I'm not saying right now's the time, but someday... Well, could you write a letter for me to my pappy?
Sure.
Thank you, Evie. Oh, this is so exciting. I'll tell Belle you'll be down. Keep scratching.
I confess, Mama, I was only able to read the first lines of your letter. Knowing you have condemned me to the hell of my choosing, as you state with such vengeance, sends me into a despair so dark and deep that no. You cannot imagine the odd and drastic nature of life out this way, the proximity of the living to the dead and the bigness in the hearts of many people, their willingness to bend what, in your old, tired Eastern states, may seem like immovable rules. I was bound by those rules once, but no longer. No. You may be wondering where my husband is. Sure, a good many questions went through your head when brother came back with his report on my whereabouts and conduct. Why did you send brother to find me? That may be the cruelest bit of all. I can still see him talking to the barman, his old schoolboy's cap in hand.
Well, what can I get you, son?
Me? No, sir. I'm here looking for Ken.
Looking for Ken, huh? Well, join the crowd. What kind of Ken?
My sister, sir.
Sister? And you're looking for her at the Mad Dog?
Well, I've been to the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, and the General Store. Somebody there said I best try here, although I don't see why. She doesn't drink. Evangeline's married to a lay minister.
Evangeline?
Yes. Do you know her?
Brother?
Who are you?
Brother, it's me.
Evangeline? Is that you? What happened to your hair?
Well, I dyed it, brother, that's all.
It's redder than a Scottish devil.
It's just the fashion out here.
What's this getup you're wearing? All that satin and them flounces in your bosom. You look like a...
Now, brother, don't be alarmed.
You were going to be a teacher, Evangeline.
I can explain.
Don't touch me! Take your hands off!
It broke my heart, Mama. I dearly remember the love and worship in brother's eyes when Harlan and I left Topeka for Oregon. The kisses and promises we made to bring him out. But God laughs at kisses and promises. And God is a liar and a cheat. No. As to my husband, Harlan may still walk this earth with that one-sided sneer of his, but he resides nowhere near me. And if he were to connive his way up to these enchantments, I would not hesitate to use the Colt 45 I stole from him. I somehow disappointed him more deeply than I have you. I swear I did my best to live up to the biblical ideals he required, but 3 miscarriages, a concussion, and 2 the dislocation of my right shoulder was enough for me. A year ago last Sunday, I packed up a small valise and waited for pitch dark when Harlan would be asleep. I was so terrified. I could barely keep my teeth from chattering.
Evangeline?
Yes?
Why are you up? Get back to bed.
I must have...
What?
I forgot to latch the outhouse, Harlan. Those raccoons are in there again.
Damn it, woman, you and Jezebel. God put nothing between your skulls but cotton and lust.
It'll just take a minute. The night I set out, away from Coos Bay and that miserable cabin, stinking of seal oil and raw plank wood, that was the moment I was... born again, Mother. Now, I sleep in sheets that smell of rose petals, and I'm free to converse with men who are prone and sad and lonely, and they are looking to me for a sweet bit of salvation. It is a gift I can finally give.
Evangeline, stop that panning and get your white ass down them stairs. The miners is here.
I'll be right there, Belle, I promise.
Who are you writing up this goddamn letter to?
My mother.
That's what Lily's been cackling on about. I told her don't nobody write nothing to their mothers. It's a pit in the ground. A waste of heartache and consternation.
It may be, but...
But what?
But I can't help myself.
Well... You better be back downstairs in 5 minutes or you'll find your little wicky-whack with more time to write than you can shake a stick at.
Yes, ma'am.
Writing your mother. Like praying to Congress.
Mama, I've decided to tell you everything. I'm not ashamed. I spend my time with men. Well, mostly boys, really. Some that not that much older than brother. There are the loggers with feet so wet they grow a fungus that never goes away. It molds their toes together as if they were ducks. And they are so embarrassed about this when they come to town. Sweet, really. But I insist they remove their shoes, let me oil their feet. And sometimes when they pull their boots off, their skin peels away, too. And there is a terrific odor to this condition, Mama. A penance for me, maybe? I believe I am doing some good. Or take the railroad boys from Greece and Italy and Ireland and such countries with names that sound like mix-up Scrabble words. Most of them are missing at least a few digits. So when their stumpy hands touch your midriff, it feels like a horse brush or some scratchy implement, not a human hand. But don't worry, Doc Keller is able to disinfect most of these types of wounds, as well as fog the pain with a tincture or two of blue velvet, which is a lovely blue liquid that goes down with a gag, but spreads out like warm flames in your body. It's something, unfortunately, I have grown quite fond of. Doc Keller!
Evangeline, what are you doing here?
I came for some more of the medicine.
Oh, Evangeline.
I'm sorry, Doc. I know you said I should stop, but you see, I have such horrific dreams, and I can't close my eyes, and I can't stop shaking. Please, Doc, just one vial more. You know how grateful I can be.
Well, come on in quickly. But this is the last one.
No, no. Dear Mother, I ask you, as a Christian, paregoric and a woman's touch, how can these be evils when men live with the possibility of death at every turn? Life is short, Mama. Take a breath and it may be gone. It is too short for a letter such as yours, is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I do not want to remember you this way. I am a disappointment, I know. I have unspeakable morals, and I've brought you nothing but shame. These are things I shall have to live with all my life. But as I awake each morning, I must know I am loved, or there's nothing left to any of it. And if you do not love me, no. No. I will not imagine it. And so, I'm returning this to you, your letter. I'm sending it back. Hate cannot be your message. There is not enough time for this. I love you, Mama. No. Yes.
Evangeline!
Coming! I love you and choose to imagine this love for all time and against all enmities. I love you. Yours truly. Evangeline.
Eye of the Beholder was recorded live at West of Lennon in Seattle, Washington, on January 28, 2013. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Dave Pascal. Our stage manager was Colleen Nielsen, and our sound technician was Jordan Sell. Elizabeth Austin's poem, The Girl Who Goes Alone, was commissioned by Richard Hugo House for the 2009 literary series. It appears in the chapbook, The Girl Who Goes Alone, from Floating Bridge Press, 2010, and the full-length collection Every Dress a Decision, published by Blue Begonia Press, 2011. You can follow Sandbox Radio on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast at the iTunes Store. Find out more about Sandbox Radio, the Sandbox Artist Collective, send us an email, and access our podcast archive at thesandboxac.org. Thanks for listening.